Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for hanging in there and sticking with us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about political correctness gone wild. We're dealing with that on the basis of the gun violence that we see in America with some of what they call the mass shootings. Let me remind you again, a mass shooting, as statistically identified, would be a shooting where four or more are slain. Ladies and gentlemen, in just one weekend in Chicago, some 73 were killed by weapons, firearms. They don't call that mass shootings. In fact, the political correct group, the Socialist Democrats, are not even speaking about that. But ladies and gentlemen, when you take places like Baltimore, D.C., San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Chicago in particular, you find that multiple mega shootings take place each week. They're not calling those mass shootings. So they're not screaming for gun control because in those cities, most of those cities are controlled by Democrats and have been for the past 60 years. Most of those cities, if not in fact all of them, have some of the tightest gun control laws in the nation. And yet you find a proliferation of shootings each and every day and weekend in particular in each of those cities. Ladies and gentlemen, we can go back to the 1700s, 1800s, and statistically, proportionally, per capita, we had just as many, if not more, guns then we have now. You didn't have mass shootings then as we have mass shootings today. So we got to analyze what's the cause and what are the consequences. What are we looking at that's the causative factors that's making this take place? I said a moment ago, as we were talking about what Walmart's is still selling, and yet each of those areas, bicycles and alcoholic beverages and knives and tobacco products and so forth, with Walmart sales, cumulatively or individually, they kill as many people, if not more, than weapons do each year. Perhaps you ask the question, why should a Christian be concerned about this? Why should we as law-abiding citizens be concerned? Why should we be concerned as conservatives? Simply because, ladies and gentlemen, there's a move in America today, and it's gaining steam every day, and that move is to absolutely thwart the Second Amendment right. And now, notwithstanding the fact that we also have a major move in America today to squelch, if not totally thwart, the First Amendment right, the right of religious liberty and freedom of speech that we have in America. Ladies and gentlemen, if you find any socialist dictator nation, you'll find that you have to remove the right to keep and bear arms in order to control the free speech of the people, the religious liberties of the people. And we're finding that, ladies and gentlemen, taking place in America. And I don't know about you, but it's frightening to me. I'm concerned when I see those that are over us in the political arena that are not concerned about the free people in America. They're not concerned about our Constitution. They're not concerned about our Bill of Rights. They're not concerned about the legal, law-abiding citizens. They use any event as reason for the political correctness that's going wild in America today to try to take away our rights to keep and bear arms. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm highly concerned about it because once that happens, listen very carefully, once that happens, and ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of if, it's just when. If we, let me just back up and say this, if we do not put President Trump back in office in November 2020, and if we do not keep a conservative Republican in office in 2024, either in November of 2020 or in November of 2024, when that day takes place that a socialist Democrat goes in office, you can kiss it goodbye for our Bill of Rights. You can kiss it goodbye for our First Amendment and our Second Amendment rights in particular. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, they're talking about red flag laws. They're talking about instituting some more restrictive background checks. We'll talk about that in a moment on this broadcast today, and I'll tell you why both of those statements, both of those proposed laws or regulations are red herrings. They are simply not factual, and it's simply the citizens, American people, are not being told the truth behind those laws and what they would really entail in the United States of America. This is the reason they're cooking the books, as I call it, with some 83% or 87% of the citizens saying that we want some more restrictions on guns. We want something to stop this. Most of those surveys have been done in the millennial age group and under the guise of broad research saying that most of the citizens are against the ownership of weapons. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm petrified with what we find with the orchestrated politically correct surveys that come up with numbers that are absolutely incorrect. So is the banning of guns, will the banning of guns, the banning of ammo really save lives or is it simply political correctness? I believe these larger companies that are jumping on the bandwagon are wanting to simply be politically correct today. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we can boil it down to just a few simple facts that we already know about the mass shootings, the shooter in these mass shootings. Out of at least 40, now I'm been more than 40, but a study of the last 40, and that's a large comprehensive number. I've reviewed, I've researched, I've looked at the documents and the data on the last 40. And so I want to just simply review this with us. Hang in there with me a moment. At that point, we are going and what the real problem is. It's not the gun. It's not the weapon. It's not the pistol. It's not the automated factor of it. It's not whether it carries one bullet or 100 bullets. But it's simply the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that it's because of the individual pulling that trigger. The individual pulling the trigger. I think we have some technical problems. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry we had a technical difficulty. It's called technology today, and sometimes it's not as dependable as we'd like to think it is. Many times I say that technology controls our lives, but nevertheless, I apologize for the technical difficulty that cut us out for 2 or 3 minutes there. Where we're talking about today, political correctness gone wild, and we're talking about the fact that there are several things we need to look at when we think about the shooters and shootings and the shooters as these mass shootings take place. And as reviewing the statistical data and the information regarding about 40 of them, I found some of the following. They're all on some type drugs. Listen, every one of these shootings, the past 40 of them, have been on some type drugs, either marijuana, cocaine, or other hard drugs, and or what is called psychotropic drugs, which are those drugs that are prescribed by physicians, Ritalin and others. In fact, most of these youngsters, 16, 18, 19, 20, and the one 24, 26 years old, had been on Ritalin most of his life. Ladies and gentlemen, that causes them to see things, to hear things, and become schizophrenic, paranoid, and causes them to act out and carry out dastardly deeds as shooting and killing. The second thing is, all were from broken homes. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. The last 40 of the shooters, they're from broken homes, fatherless homes. Father's home, why does that make a difference? Because the father in the home is the father figure. God has given the fathers in the home to train the children, to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. It's the father's responsibility to lead these sons and daughters in following the lordship of Jesus Christ and following God, listening to God, obeying him and his word. All but one had legally obtained weapons. All of these shooters, the past 40, all of them but one, had weapons that were legally obtained. So how many more laws will it take? We'll talk about that in a minute. How many more laws would it take? How many more laws put on the books will stop them from getting guns if you have those that are getting the guns legally? Ladies and gentlemen, all were occupied with watching horrific videos produced by the same Hollywood group that screams gun control after each shooting. Hear me. All of these youngsters, all of these young men that have done the shootings, they've been watching either movies or videos, six, 8, 10, 12 hours a day that cause life to have no value, and they're produced by the same Hollywood producers, the same Hollywood elitists that want to scream gun control every time a mass shooting takes place. Number five, none of these shooters were in any form of church, attending any religious or spiritual church or organization or group. None of them. All were out of the public school system, ladies and gentlemen. All were from public schools where God is banned, the Bible is banned, prayer is banned, the Ten Commandments are banned. And yet you expect them to understand that life has the value. You expect them to understand that somehow, some way, what they're doing is wrong. I'm not saying that they do not recognize that, but their minds have been so destroyed by the videos they're watching, by the drugs they're taking, that they do not know anything other than they look at it that it's just another video game to go outside and shoot just to watch them die. None of these shooters came from homes that had any relationship to God or to the church. This is a good reason, ladies and gentlemen, to put the Bible back into the classrooms publicly. And I believe we've talked about it on this broadcast several times before. In the state of Florida just last year, in the legislative session, there was a bill that would put Bible back in the classroom on an elective basis. It didn't make it out of the committee simply because political correctness. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the Bible should be taught at home. I believe it should be taught in the church. I believe it should be available to be taught as a history lesson in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you're teaching Bible as a history lesson in the classroom, you've got to teach that child that God created them. You've got to teach that child the Ten Commandments. You've got to teach that child the fundamentals of the Old Testament and the New Testament about the writers, the 1,500-year period of time that it was written in, the 40 writers, the human writers that God used to give us the 66 books called the Bible. So I'm for it. In fact, Representative Mike Hill out of District 1 in Pensacola, Florida. He has introduced that bill, introduced it last year, be introducing it again this year. I say that we need to call our legislators and say, please, please, please vote yes for putting the Bible as an alternative, as an elective, back into the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, that's vital. That's needed. But I'm saying to you that none of these shooters had anything to do with God, anything to do with the Bible, anything to do with church, anything to do with what would be called moral, ethical, biblical training in the home. And yet we expect them not to kill somebody. The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not kill, one of the Ten Commandments. And that Ten Commandments are not taught. How are they knowing that? So it's very, very simple, ladies and gentlemen, to look at the profile and to understand that the mass shooting is not because of the gun. It's about the lack of God in the lives of the shooter. I know that's dogmatic. I know that sounds simplistic. But that's the reality of it all. I believe the fundamental foundation in the development of a mass shooter is this. I've developed an outline that I believe that we need to understand. If we want to talk about mass shooters, how do we create them? How do we grow them? How do we develop them? What causes them to be mass shooters? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, teach them that he's not created by God, but it's just an intelligent animal. Teach these kids as they're growing up that they evolve from a blob in the ocean. Just teach them that Darwinism is right and that God is wrong. You're going to grow yourself up a mass shooter. Teach them that God's word is not relevant, that God's word is simply a book written by a bunch of old white men, as one recent statement was made. Teach them that the Bible is full of errors and you need not to pay any attention to it. Teach them that they don't have to study the Bible and go to Sunday school and to worship service. Just teach them, Mom and Dad, that they can just simply avoid God. You're growing yourself a future mass shooter. Teach him that there's no hell, that there's no reckoning day, that there's no justice day and judgment day coming. Just teach him that abortion is not murder and it's okay. Teach him that a life of sodomy, as Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, that is now a presidential candidate and is bragging about the fact that he's closer to Jesus after he married a man, and he's bragging about it, shaking his finger in your face every day, ladies and gentlemen. Just let that kind of theology, that kind of philosophy, that kind of ideological bent be your persuasion, and you teach your son or your daughter. Teach him that drugs and perverted sex are all okay. Just teach him to play on his video game 6, 8, 10 hours a day and watch the garbage that he's watching. You're growing yourself a future mass shooter. It's not the gun. It's what's being inculcated in the lives and the hearts of these that are being brought up today that have disregard for God, disregard for the Word of God, disregard for the church, disregard for morals and ethics and values, and they're being groomed today to be the next shooters, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the gun. We can ban every gun, and it will not prevent a person from getting an illegal gun and killing someone or multitudes of people. If you don't believe that, look at Chicago any day of the week. Most of the shootings, most, the overwhelming number of the shooters in Chicago each and every day have illegal guns. Chicago has highly restrictions on gun ownership and getting permits to carry a weapon. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to have a shooter? You want to grow up a mass shooter? Don't take him to church. Don't teach him the Word of God. Don't teach him that there's a need to submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The eighth thing is, don't discipline him. Don't spank him. I've used the term many years, and some are not even aware and familiar with the name Dr. Spock. But many years ago, I used to say, don't spock him, spank him. God created a place that's highly padded, that is the place where you use the paddle, but most parents want to pat him on the back rather than pat him on the bottom when he's to be disciplined. So if you want to grow up a mass shooter, don't discipline him at all. Just tell him he's a good boy. Don't even put him in the corner, but continue to praise him. As some psychologists will tell us with their psychobabble, that you need to praise him and not ever say it is wrong. This is the reason in many schools today, they don't have a failure for a grade level. Everybody's going to get a star. Everybody will get a flag. Everybody will get an okay. But nobody's failing. Nobody's doing anything wrong. Just teach him that way, and you'll grow yourself up a mass shooter. Don't require him to obey mom and dad. Don't require any restrictions on discipline in the home. Don't require him to work. Just give him whatever he wants. There must be a fundamental foundation of moral, ethical values taught in the home, or you're going to grow yourself up a mass shooter. Moms and dads, I'm talking to you. Grandmothers and grandfathers, talking to you. Here's an article that says, their screams music, their pain my pleasure. Dayton shooter's demonic notebook scrawled several he fantasized about massacring. Hunting for humans, carved marijuana and speed, craved marijuana and speed, called himself a psychopath and hailed Lucifer. I'm reading to you from a massive article about the findings in the Dayton shooter's diary. Let me just read you some of the things in it that validates what I've just said to you about how to create a mass shooter. And it's about political correctness gone wrong when there's a conversation or a talk or a push to ban weapons or to remove guns or to prevent law-abiding citizens from being able to have and keep and bear arms as our Second Amendment right guarantees in our Bill of Rights. Connor Betts, B-E-T-T-S, gunned down 9 people and injured dozens more in Dayton, Ohio on that Sunday. Now, DailyMail.com has obtained chilling notebook scrawls by the 24-year-old who had an appetite for murder, drugs, and Satanism. Listen to those three ingredients. He had an appetite for murder, drugs, and Satanism. Now, I don't know how that could be any better succinctly stated than I've just given you the 10 points of how to grow up a mass shooter. Number three, the frightening pages were revealed by former friend Ian Himes, who paints a confounding picture of Betts as a frequent methamphetamine smoker who played violent video games. Listen to two things. He was on drugs, and he played video games. And according to his friend, said he was on those video games 6, 8, 10 hours a day. And that daily he was high on drugs. He said sometimes he would get quiet and take a notebook and start writing random stuff in them. He said, I never paid much attention to what he'd written until now. He says his ramblings and his contributions written around 2017 and following, including a satanic pentagram with the words, Hail Lucifer, and numerous references to death and murder. He said, the warped loner declared himself a servant of evil incarnate and rants about everything from schizophrenia to satanic rituals to massacres. The page is read in part. Listen carefully. This is some of the writings of the book, the daily log, the things that he would write and say about himself and his desires. The page is read in part. I am the servant of the serpent evil incarnate, flesh consumer, light destroyer, fueled by hate, rage my strength, distrust my shield. In further jumbled snippets, he said, he antisocial personality disorders, don't listen to a romantic advice, psychopath, seek and destroy, still haven't eaten enough, so ADHD, paranoid, schizophrenic. That's what he was writing about himself. He says he was antisocial. He didn't listen to any romantic advice. He claimed himself to be a psychopath. He said he wants to seek and destroy. He said he still hadn't eaten enough because of his ADHD. And ladies and gentlemen, the ADHD controlled by Ritalin and other psychotropic drugs, I believe some of the root causes, and listen, another side issue. We're legalizing drugs today across America called marijuana. It will be legalized in the state of Florida in 2020 unless we, the people, say no on an amendment that will be on the ballot. And I'm fearful that most will say yes rather than no, based on the fact that just in 2016 in November, 71% of Floridians voted yes to have medical marijuana, which is a joke. It was the way of getting the camel in the tent. And so I believe the same thing will take place with marijuana recreational use. But ladies and gentlemen, we're passing the laws. We think there's nothing to it, but marijuana is the gateway to, listen, every other drug in America and around the globe. If you don't believe that, go back to the studies, research that's done other than by the marijuana industry itself. And it will prove to you that marijuana is the open gateway for every other drug. And yet we're talking about today spending hundreds of billions of dollars, federal and state and local government spending hundreds of billions of dollars to control what is called the opioid epidemic. And the opioid epidemic is as a result of and a part and parcel of the marijuana epidemic in America. And it is the key factor, in my opinion, based on the authority of the research that I have done, that is the key factor for the rampant violent murders that's taking place that we call mass murders. This article goes on to say, Dayton gunman Connor Brett's depraved appetite for murder, drugs, and Satanism is laid bare in a series of chilling journal entries obtained exclusively by DailyMail.com. The warped loner, 24 years old, declared himself a servant of evil incarnate and rants about everything from schizophrenia to satanic rituals and mass massacres of human beings. Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't speak volumes of where we are in America today, nothing is. We're absolutely Looney Tunes when it comes to the governmental agencies, i.e. the left and the right halls of Congress in America today, where there's a push to say, well, we need to control the guns. And they've just about convinced some of the conservative Republicans that we need to have the red flag laws, and we'll talk about that in a moment. They've tried to convince many of the conservative Republicans, in fact, trying to convince our president that somehow, some way, we need to declare so many people mentally ill and do so through the red flag laws and through some other gun control laws. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says the real reason we have mass shootings. Walter Williams is a columnist for the Daily Signal and professor of economics at George Mason University. One of the unavoidable tragedies of youth is the temptation to think that what is seen today has always been. Nowhere is this more noticeable than in our response to the recent Parkland, Florida shooting and the massacre. part of the response to the murders are calls to raise the age to purchase a gun and to have more thorough background checks. In a word, to make gun purchases more difficult. That's a vision that sees easy gun availability as the problem. Thus, the solution is to simply control and reduce the availability, end quote. The vision that sees easy availability as the problem ignores the fact that in U.S. history, guns were far more available yesteryear than today. With truly easy gun availability, there was nowhere near the gun mayhem and murder that we see today. I'm tempted to ask those who believe that guns are today's problems whether they think the guns were nicer in yesteryear. Leaders of the gun control movement know this. Their calls for more restrictive gun laws are part of the larger strategy to outlaw gun ownership in America completely. Gun ownership is not the problem, Walter Williams says. Our problem is a widespread decline in moral values that have nothing to do with guns. The decline includes disrespect for authority, disrespect for oneself, little accountability for antisocial behavior, and a scuttling of religious teachings and reinforced moral values. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have succinctly stated any better myself. That's where we are in America. And yet political correctness has gone wild with the idea that somehow, some way, we can take guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, Americans now have over 20,000 gun control laws on the books. America has about 330 million people, about 300 million legal guns in America. Only God knows how many illegal guns. About 40,000 die each year with guns, and that total, out of that total, we have 29,250 suicides by guns, 1,612 legal shootings by law enforcement, 274 negligent discharges by people not trained to handle a gun, 8,863 actual murders out of 330 million people. Ladies and gentlemen, that's 0.01% of Americans that are killed by weapons that are on the shooting, could be called mass shootings. Out of the 8,863, in fact, across America, ladies and gentlemen, more than that number are killed every year just in those cities where they already have restrictive gun laws, like Chicago, L.A., Detroit, and so forth, Baltimore. Ladies and gentlemen, more gun laws are not going to cause us to have less shootings. We need to go back to the cause of it, and that is that we have those that have availability to guns, that are on drugs, that are on psychopathic drugs, that are on those drugs that have been given by medical profession and or by marijuana. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. We need to recognize that if we pass red flag laws, that friends, neighbors, relatives, and enemies can call in on you and have law enforcement to pick you up, lock you up for 14 days, before you can be heard by a judge. Then you have to prove you're innocent. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.